In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're gonna have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to an episode of the Pelvic PT Rising Podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
All right, an important topic today and something we've been talking about with you guys a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but we've been talking about student loan debt. And we had been putting up a couple of polls and questions asking you guys how you were doing with this, because this is something that is a huge struggle for a lot of people. And I know it was for you for a long time, Nicole.
Totally. It was a huge struggle for me and it caused me a lot of anxiety. And I was the kind of person who just wanted to push it under the rug. I didn't want to look at it, didn't want to pay attention to it. It was like if I didn't actually look at the numbers, then maybe they wouldn't exist. But then I looked at my net worth one time and I was like, oh, it's like a massive negative number. And then it just gave me more anxiety and I didn't quite know what to do with it until I met Jesse, and he, who has a better financial background than I do, really helped me to figure all of that out. But I know that not all of us have a Jesse.
Well, and frankly, we made mistakes. Like if we had to go back and give ourselves advice, we wouldn't do it exactly the same way either, even though I would say, I mean, toot my own horn a little bit, I am relatively financially sophisticated. I have a business degree. But I'm sure if we went and actually got professional advice, they wouldn't have told us to do it the way that we did. And we were fortunate that it worked out relatively well for us. But we put up some of these polls in the group and there was, I don't know, I mean, some of the responses and some of the comments were honestly pretty heartbreaking. But 75% of people who responded to the poll had some form of student loans. Of those, more than 60% had more than $100,000 in student loan debt. Like, and that is crazy. And I know we talked in a podcast a couple of weeks ago about the reasons for that. And those are many. It's really not the fault of the profession, but it is a huge factor. And a lot of you said things like, hey, I'm waiting on starting a family. I'm waiting on buying a house. I can't save money for retirement. I can't invest. I can't go down or cut my hours. I can't move to a different job because this job I'm in is for the government or a nonprofit. And I have to stick it out for 8 more years before I can get my loans repaid. And so it really is, there's a lot of putting your life on pause because of these loans, a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And so it was a topic that Nicole and I were really eager to tackle. And one of the things I went in and I started researching, I was like, man, maybe I can find an answer for everybody. And I was like, Nicole, we could do this long, great, long form podcast. We could put out a calculator for people. We could do all this stuff. And honestly, in researching it, I spent a ton of time doing it, and it was too complicated for that. Physical therapy is a great example of this, right? You could research the pelvic floor all you want as a patient, but nothing is going to make the difference of going in and actually seeing a true expert in this. And so I realized there wasn't an easy answer. It wasn't like, oh, everybody just needs to do this one government program. Like there are so many variables and so many loopholes and so many confusing laws and things that have been added over the years. There's just a lot of this junk in our system, which for better or for worse, right? Because a lot of those things create loopholes that really can help certain people, but it's too complex for a just do this kind of prescriptive approach. And so instead of looking more into the researching and trying to figure out like, oh, what am I going to tell people? What advice can we give? It was like actually started researching where can we find somebody who's a true expert in this, who can give one-on-one advice, who can actually figure that out. And that's where I ran into Travis. I interviewed a couple of different folks and we're going to have him on the podcast. You're going to hear from him next, but I'm just so excited that he was able to jump on and really kind of demystify a lot of this stuff for us.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things and the biggest takeaway that I want you to listen for is the mindset shift in how we can be thinking about these loans. And then also the need for us to be willing to take expert help in this area. And just like we expect that of our patients, to trust us with our expert care of their pelvic floors. We need to trust other professionals, and we've vetted this guy, and he is freaking rad. And total bonus, his wife is a freaking urogynecologist, which we didn't know at the time. We knew his wife was a physician, but we didn't know she was a freaking urogyn. And so this, I mean, I was like, this is meant to be.
Yeah, right. And he was like, oh,
Travis is going to be our student loan savior.
Yes, pelvic floor physical therapy. He knew all about it and knew what we do.
And he'd been to OGS.
Right. He's like, maybe I'll run into you guys at OGS.
I was like, maybe you will. I was like, I love you, Travis.
This is so cool. But so Travis Hornsby, this interview coming up for you guys. Just after this, want to give you a little bit of his background. He was somebody who was in the finance world. He was selling bonds. He was doing bond trader, doing huge numbers, like numbers with lots and lots of zeros after them, and retired from that at the age of 25 and didn't want to be doing that anymore. Got married, and his wife, the urogynecologist, was severely in student loan debt, a lot of complex stuff, and realized just how complicated, kind of like my journey, just how complicated this whole thing is. And so helped her and then turned that into a business helping other people. He's has his own podcast, The Student Loan Planner. He's been featured in the U.S. News, Business Insider, Forbes, Huffington Post, Rolling Stone, and the Pelvic PT Rising podcast. So that's going to go on his bio, I'm sure, for the next interview that he yeah, does.
I'm sure it's going to be top one.
Maybe U.S. News, then Pelvic PT Rising, then Business Insider and Forbes. I don't know. Well, you can play Workshop Travis with the with the order of that. But in working with him, I mean, I really love the way that his company does business as well. They do something that's a transparent, it's a flat rate for consultations. And then they also offered anybody who wants to work with them after listening to this podcast an extra 12 months. So they'll get 12 months of email support if you have questions after your consultation with them. So I'm going to let him talk through his program, but we're just really excited to have him on. There's a ton of mindset shifts in here. And if you guys are struggling, if you're not sure that you know, you're doing the right thing with your loans, that you have questions, that you, even if you are doing the right thing and you still just have a lot of anxiety around it, this can really, really be helpful. So I want you guys to pay attention to this episode, and I really hope you enjoy this interview. We're really grateful for Travis for coming on, and here we go. Hey guys, so excited to be bringing on Travis Hornsby of Student Loan Planner and studentloanplanner.com. He runs the Student Loan Planner podcast. Travis, we need some help. There is so much confusion, misinformation out there, and I know student loans are a huge problem for everybody. So thank you so much for being on with us and disentangling this.
Well, I'm happy to do it. You know, my wife is a urogynecologist, and she would tell me that anything that I can do to make pelvic PTs more relaxed and happier is going to make her life better. So that's what I'm here for.
Woohoo! I second that. That is awesome.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit, just starting broadly. I feel like we need to have like the Goodwill Hunting moment of like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. But like, where did this come from? Because this wasn't a problem that really plagued our parents' generation. Why do we have these student loans?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things going on with that question. So first off, we changed models in 2006, something called Grad Plus, which uncapped borrowing like for like any limit at all. So it used to be back in the day, you know, you kind of had an amount you could borrow. And if you had to borrow more than that, well, too bad. Like you got to make up the difference with savings or private loans or something like that, right? Now, what that does is it kind of keeps a cap on how much schools can charge. Because if you can't borrow more than a certain amount and the banks won't lend it to you, then you're not going to be able to charge what you want to charge for your program, right? But a couple things happened. Grad Plus got enacted. Shortly after that, income-based repayment got enacted. That's like basically taking, you know, dry wood and throwing gasoline and lighting a match. Because what happened, like all these new PT programs opened up, all these new private schools opened up, opened their class sizes larger, and the schools view this as a revenue source. At the same time, the APTA, I believe, came out with its Vision 2020 statement, which y'all would be more familiar with than me. But they said, you know, that basically everybody's got to have a doctorate degree. And so you went from having a lot of practitioners that were master's degree practitioners that did a good job to people that had to get a doctorate degree who also do a good job. But the problem is we haven't seen the commensurate increase in earnings that they were promising when they were selling everybody on that, right? So you've got longer a period of time. You've got to be in school and borrowing for living expenses without getting an income. Plus the Grad Plus program with income-based repayment, which lets the schools, especially like the bad, like I call them bad actors. I mean, they do produce people that can do a great job doing physical therapy, but it's like the schools are kind of in it for two reasons, to educate physical therapists, but also to profit maximize and make some money.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's interesting too about just having gone through PT school myself, what's also interesting is that it's sort of like medical school where you can't really have a second job. I mean, you can, but it's maximum like 10, 15 hours a week. And that's right. not going to help to offset the $120,000, $140,000 of student debt there is. So it's like, that is also specific too with the Vision 2020, where everybody moved to a DPT program where all the schooling also got a lot more intense. And instead of, you know, having summers off or whatever, we had now 3 years year round, you know, three trimesters a year of that, where we couldn't really have another job to offset any of that cost.
Yeah. It really makes that, I mean, it just seems like the perfect storm of problems where for physical therapists, for most medical professionals, what you can make is capped by insurance companies who have a for-profit model.
Oh yeah.
What you have to pay at schools is set by the school who has a for-profit model, and the practitioner in the middle, who is a 22-year-old, frankly, financial idiot at that point. I was, almost all of us were.
Yeah.
Are the ones getting squeezed between these two huge institutions, it sounds like.
Well, I will say this, a physical therapist, maybe you're making 60, 70, 80, 90, 100K. I mean, you have a much larger income than the median worker that's graduating from college. It might not be like as much as people were hoping for or wanted, but it is more. And if you understand the loan loopholes and loan rules, then you actually do make more money net of student loans, even 200,000-300,000 of student loans. If you understand the loopholes, understand really how to treat it in the context of your overall financial plan. And also for any physical therapists who are tired or exhausted or disillusioned, I want to speak to the people who love the profession and also the people that don't love the profession. I feel like they made a mistake. So if you've made a mistake or feel like you did, guess what? One weird positive thing about the Grad Plus program is you're already in a ton of debt and going for an income-based plan anyway. You can go back and borrow additional loans and go back for another program. A lot of people don't know that. So we've had people do those kind of things. Like you either find your contentment, your happiness in the physical therapy profession and make the most of it. Or you say, you know what? If I could do it over again, I would have been a PA or I would have been a nurse practitioner or something like that. Okay. You can go back and do that. That is actually an okay financial decision. So that's what I really love about the student loan programs is even though they're awful and should never have ever been designed this way and need dire need of reform, you can take advantage of it for your own gain. I think ethically and legally and morally, you should.
That's awesome. And this is why I'm so excited that we're talking to you, because that would never have even crossed my mind. The idea of like, well, you're already in this boat. It really isn't adding a whole lot more ballast to your boat to go back to school for something else. But I do want to go back to something you said there I thought was really interesting that I think makes a lot of PTs feel kind of despair. But you really do believe, even with all the stuff that you see, that on the whole, financially, if you're looking at it, like PT school generally is still a good deal for PTs, even if it doesn't feel that way right now.
Right. I mean, well, so let's do some math. Let's just say somebody's making 70K a year, and let's say they're married to a teacher and they've got a couple kids. So, okay. So if you're paying, you know, an income-based plan, you might be paying $1,000 to $1,200 a month if you're filing your taxes jointly. And you might say, wow, like if I have 100,000 of loans or 150,000 of loans, like maybe I would just rather just pay those off. Why am I doing income based? So what people don't understand is student loans are just an income tax. If you have complex student loans, then you need to realize that it would be like you have complex income or complex taxes. If you try to turbo tax it yourself, you'll probably cost yourself more money than you're going to save. If you get expert help with somebody that does thousands of plans a year like we do, then we're going to find things that other people might miss. So for example, let's say that this person works as an employee somewhere. They probably have a retirement plan. Let's say instead of throwing all their money at their student loans, they max out their retirement instead. So now they're able to knock down their income to maybe 50 instead of 70. Now, instead of filing taxes jointly, let's say they file taxes separately. So instead of paying based off of both spouses' incomes, now you can pay based off of one spouse's income. So you're able to get that payment down from like $1,000 to $1,200 a month, maybe down to maybe more like $250 to $300 a month, which is a fraction of what it was before. Now you might say, well, what about my loan just exploding? What about my loan growing and growing and growing? You know, what would be the impacts of that? Well, first off, debt is forgiven tax-free until 2025 when that taxed treatment of student loan forgiveness returns again. So this is like a temporary thing that Congress did to make it so that student loan forgiveness was not taxable income when you get it. There's two kinds of loan forgiveness. There's the nonprofit government kind, which is 10 years. And there's the kind that anyone can qualify for, regardless of your employment status, which is 20 or 25 years, right? So the 10-year version is always tax-free. The 20 or 25-year version is taxed as income when you have forgiveness happen for you. So people would say, oh, I'm super worried that when I have it forgiven, I'm going to owe hundreds of thousands in taxes. And to that, I say, guess what? There's a real easy solution to that. We can figure out what percent of your income that you should be putting away every month into, you know, investments to cover that tax bomb. And the total amount of money you're paying is still going to be way less than $1,000 to $1,200 a month. And furthermore, that money is probably not going to be owed. You'll probably get it tax-free and you'll get to keep that money instead. So basically what we can do is take a very complex student loan case and turn it into describing this as a percentage of someone's income. So we can say, okay, instead of 200,000 of student loans or 150,000 of student loans or 100,000, what you really have is a 8 to 13% tax on your income in exchange for your PT education. So even if you like listen to all those numbers and you're just completely lost, just forget everything that I said and let's just pretend that it's 10% of your income, including the tax bomb, including the payments, everything. Okay. Just to make the math easy. If you make 70,000 a year as a PT, what's taking away 10% of that? That would be $7,000. So 70,000 minus 10% of your income, which is 7,000, is 63,000. So that 63,000 number would be net of all of your student loan costs. So is 63,000 more or less than what you would have earned if you had just done a bachelor's degree? It's probably more. And if it's not more, then it's probably a profession that you enjoy more, getting to actually talk to people and go into an actual physical office space where you're not having to sit at a cubicle all day or stare at a screen. There's a reason that, you know, people got into the PT profession in the first place. This is not something that people probably just do for status or money, or else you might have tried to do a different career, right? So that's what I like to point people to is worst case scenario, this is just an income tax. But if you only owe 40,000, then maybe a 10% income tax is not a very good deal because you're just going to pay it, you know, enough that's just going to pay it off anyway. And then you're just paying extra interest to the government for no reason, in which case we would recommend refinancing it instead.
Yeah, and I want to dive into all of those details, but I love how you're framing that, even just in this conversation, reframing it as this albatross that people can't get out from under and feel all this despair and confusion about to, hey, would you have exchanged your degree for a 10% tax on your income for the next 20 years? If you phrase it that way, a lot of people would say, absolutely, that seems like a great deal.
But, yeah, man, right? That mindset shift is freaking huge for people. And if you are freaking listening to this, I want you to really like take that in, because I feel like we have all of this stress and anxiety on things that we don't understand. And that that was me. I was a freaking mess financially before I met Jesse. And honestly, like, it just seemed so daunting that, and those words that you're saying are kind of like, I don't really get it, but frankly, I didn't really even want to go and get it, right? I didn't want to learn about it either. It's like, thank God for people like you that are figuring it out for us. And that is awesome. But that mindset shift is what I want everybody to pause for a bit and take a second to really take in.
Well, I mean, like, why do people go to PTs, right? It's because you have specialized knowledge. So like, I just did a physical therapy round for my knee because I was having some real bad knee pain because I was trying to get back into the swing of things. And I had been kind of out of the gym like during the pandemic, like I hadn't really been hitting it hard. And I started hitting it hard and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I'm in so much pain. So I went to my PT and they're like, oh, I know why. Like your quad is like half as strong as it should be because you haven't been doing like any exercise like in the gym with weights. Like, you know, I've just been doing like whatever cardio kind of stuff. And yeah. So, you know, they got like, he knew like what to do and he got my quad strong again. And now I've got a lot less knee pain. So it's kind of the same thing, right? Like if you don't understand what's wrong, in my case, I didn't understand it. It causes stress and anxiety, depression. Like you're like, am I ever going to get out of this? But then when you realize, you know, your student loan debt is just like an income tax, worst case scenario, think about like 10% of your income. That's like what California charges, but you don't hear people being in despair about their California state income taxes, right? What do? They take pictures of them on the beach. They show like pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge. They show how awesome California is and talk about how worth it that 10% is. So that's the kind of thing that I want people to realize is you're either going to feel that way about your PT profession, or you're going to say, you're going to do the equivalent of moving to Florida, and you're going to say, well, I'm going to be paying this income tax anyway, so I want to do a different career. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to do something different because I only have one life to live, and it's okay to do that because of just the way the student loan program is designed.
Yeah. And I think both scenarios are good if you are thinking about it, right? If you're thinking about it and it's an informed decision. So I love that.
When I want to take that knee pain, I feel like that's a really great example. It's probably going to resonate a lot with our audience, even though me as a PT, I don't always get all the nitty gritty on all of this stuff either. But if we take it the opposite direction, if you had just said like, oh, I'm going to try to figure this knee pain out, right? You would have been doing all these different exercises. You would have been looking at TikTok videos, trying to figure out like what to be doing there. You would have gone to an orthopedic surgeon who would have told you you're bone on bone and you need surgery. And now you're going to surgery. And now 5 years later, you've paid $10,000 extra. And now you're back at PT trying to undo all of those things that you just spent the last 10 years doing. And I feel like that's what you're doing. You're like a PT for finances.
Well, and I also want to say that, like, you know, no hate to the ortho people out there, right? But it's kind of like that with student loan refinancing. So let me just give you all some transparency. Yes. So if you refinance like a private student loan, like, or if you refinance your student loans on a website, they can make like 1 to 2% of the loan amount as a commission. So if you're refinancing like $200,000, they can make like $2,000 to $3,000 off of you. And so what we're seeing a lot of, especially like in the PT profession, is there's places out there where they, and you know, I can't judge whether or not their advice truly isn't biased or not. Like, but the problem is that the incentives, kind of like ortho, right? So the incentive there, if they say, oh, we're going to give you a free plan and you make $3,000 if you do option one or $0 if you do option two, which option do you think companies would be biased towards advising? Now, that's not to say that they would, but it's just incentives, right? Like, and so that's one of the reasons, like with our model, we pay consultants like the same flat fee, regardless of the advice that they give. And on the student loan refinancing front, we do have a lot of those relationships with banks, but instead of like retaining all of that advertising commission, we rebate a lot of that to our readers and our clients. So for example, if somebody refinances 200,000 of loans on our site, we get them $1,000 cash bonus for refinancing by taking significantly lower commissions than other websites, partly because it helps our people get a better deal without them getting any lower rates. But it also like reduces our conflict of interest there, just to make sure that it's just, you know, we're trying to approach that from like a whole client wellness kind of like financial model.
I love that. And I feel like the transparency is so important to me whenever we deal. Like, this is a big pet peeve of mine with the finance industry, is there are so many hidden incentives. If you go and talk, I mean, anybody who's ever talked to somebody who sells insurance, like they wanted to insure my like hands. And I was like, what? I don't even do anything. Like, it wouldn't even matter. What's going to happen? And there's all these hidden incentives. There's all this, you know, people taking percentages and cuts. That's one of the things that when I was doing our research, I really loved about the way you guys do business, is it just seems so like clear cut. And I want to dive into some of that. But before we do, Travis, can you just give us like the Cliff Notes version? You just have a really cool personal story on how you got into this. Can you give us that background and how you founded Student Loaner Planner?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a bond trader and I was changing the world one million of tax exempt interest income for millionaires and billionaires at a time. Some of the people obviously were just like retirees trying to get tax exempt income to live good lives. Like, so I'm not putting that down. It just wasn't what I was passionate about. So you kind of think about people who are not passionate about their profession. That was me. And I was in a tough place. I was like, I thought I was going to be this, you know, high flying Wall Street hotshot. I was going to be so cool and such a fun lifestyle. And I was just miserable. Primarily, I think just because I didn't get to talk to humans and transform lives and help people and teach. I was a teaching assistant for my economics professor when I was in college. And I really enjoyed that. And so I thought, well, I just need to cold turkey quit because I need to reevaluate my life. And so I had saved a six-figure amount, like, you know, working in a finance, that's a little easier to do. And I just quit my job with no real plan. And I traveled Europe and Latin America, went to like 40 countries over the course of a year and a half, and lived out of a small backpack. In the process, sort of met my wife like right before I left, and we kind of dated long distance. And then she eventually said, put up or shut up, you know, I'm taking my first post-training job. Now's the decision time. And I said, you know, I choose you. And so we went to St. Louis, got married, 1.5 year old now. So it's been quite the ride. And I, you know, along the way, I was sort of like, well, I can't just do this early retirement thing just like chilling in St. Louis. Like there's, it's not like I'm able to go down the street and go look at Notre Dame like I was when I was traveling, you know? So I'm just like, well, I got to do something interesting to help people and stimulate my mind and everything. And so I just started helping people on the student loan stuff on the side, wrote a lot of articles about it. And I just randomly found a ton of people on the internet were finding them because of the desperation, because of the Excel spreadsheets, the models, the transparency, the no baloney type of approach that I took, where it wasn't like, you've got to do this because this is my brand. You know, it was just like trying to find that actual solution. And I think that's what really helped. And so then I got too busy to handle everything myself, which then I brought in our first consultant, and it sort of just snowballed from there.
And so how many people are you helping, or have you helped? Give me like a little bit of statistics on what you guys are doing, because it's super impressive. And you guys are obviously changing a lot of lives with this.
I have to say, like, I definitely have some sort of mental stress over like the, you know, how big is too big? Like, what are our goals? Like, what are we actually trying to do? Right. I think at the end of the day, like, impact is what matters. Are you transforming somebody's life or not? You know, the PT patient that comes to the session, you know, are they going to follow up and try to actually do the plan? Like, can you transform their life? Like, that's what I try to focus ourselves on. But we do have some cool numbers, so I'll share those. So we're getting close to having advised 8,000 clients. We've advised about 1.85 billion of student loans. I'm just reading here. Our average projected savings for each client is about $53,025. So the way we find that is people need to file taxes separately, or people need to do a tax trick because they live in California they weren't aware of it, that affects their income-based payment, or they need to refinance when they weren't doing it, or they need to avoid refinancing when they thought they should, or they need to go for the PSLF waiver, which is now through October 31st of 2022. All these kind of opportunities that people miss, just like I missed that my quad was weak and that was my problem. Those are the kind of things that we find for people. So yeah, we've advised, just with our small team of 8 consultants, we've advised more than 1 out of every 1,000 student loan dollars in the country since we started, like in one-on-one personal sessions. That's not including all of our, you know, online content or email list and presentations.
Yeah, that
that's pretty cool. That's freaking awesome. And I love what you are basically, you're speaking our language when you talk about essentially individualizing the advice. Like, this is not a cookie cutter approach. It's actually taking a look at what is your situation and what makes sense for you, which is essentially what we do every day as physical therapists, right? We're not doing a protocol-based approach here. We're taking a look at what is going to work for you in your personal situation. And it's not always the same advice.
Yeah. Can say better myself.
Oh yeah. Well, and talk to me a little bit about those. I feel like one of the things, we put up a poll in our group of the people who have student loans, 80% felt stress or anxiety around those loans.
Yeah.
Which is frankly shocking and not surprising at all at the same time.
Right. So, oh yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people are kind of where Nicole was of, this feels like something unmanageable. It feels like something I can't handle myself. I'm going to be worried about it. I feel like I have to put buying a home on pause. I have to put starting a family on pause. I have to do all of these things based around my student loans, but yet I don't really have a solid plan in place for how I'm going to do that. And they're kind of living in this middle ground of really stressed about it. Maybe, you know, you're making an extra payment every year or two and trying to knock down the amount. Like, yeah. What do you say to that person who's living in that kind of purgatory space of really stressed about it, but don't really have a plan to get out of it?
I mean, I would really caution people to, I mean, first of all, like, seek like mental health counseling, therapy. Like, I've done it myself. I had all these anxiety attacks during the pandemic, just feeling like it was never going to end. And, you know, realize that a whole lot of the stuff that you feel like is about finances is not about finances. It's about something like far deeper. And you just got to like be okay with like acknowledging that. So it's sort of like with the debt or anxiety part, like, what are you worried about? Like, not ever being able to buy a house, not being able to start a family, not being able to feel like you're ever going to be able to retire, you know, not feeling like you'd be able to be a good parent to your kids and give them the same life that you thought you were going to be able to give them. These are like deep, visceral emotions. And student debt just feels like this super wasted thing that sucks money away from your life energy every month. And it's just debilitating, right? That's why you got to look at it as a tax. Because a tax is paid for goods and services that you benefit from, right? Did you benefit from your education? Absolutely. You're making, like, you know, any physical therapist listening to this is going to be making a decent income that, yes, insurance companies are chipping away, right? But it's still always, I would argue, going to be a better income than if you're just going straight into the bachelor's degree world, and you've got a little bit more recession-proof income than a lot of people do. That's a real deal. As you know, come another 2008, you'll be like, oh, I made a great decision, you know, because a lot of your friends are going to get laid off.
I mean, pandemic proof a little bit. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people that got furloughed and stuff, but there also are a ton of people who did not because we're frontline workers and we're in the medical industry and that is a little bit of disaster proof in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, and there's actually like some specialty mortgage programs for physical therapists out there. We're getting into that space now. They're called doctor mortgages. And there's fewer banks that offer them for physical therapists specifically, but they can offer 10% down payments or no PMI options that are just a little bit more flexible than 20% conventional down payments. So, I mean, there's always solutions, right? Like if somebody says, I'm worried about fill in the blank, well, you have choices, but those choices might not be like what you would hope that they would be, but they're choices. Again, I just come back to like, what is the true anxiety about? Whatever it is, like from a financial perspective, I can solve that 100% of the time. I can fix that. The stuff that I can't fix is that like deeper visceral emotion that is just very real, that is, you know, better handled by, I think, you know, a counselor, a therapist, or a religious leader, pastor, rabbi, something like that. So you can share those feelings. I mean, you could throw kind of anything at me from like stuff that you guys have heard people be stressed about. And I think I could probably just come up with something off the top of my head of like how there might be a workaround they hadn't thought about.
Well, I mean, that I think it's huge, but I love what you said too. I feel like the emotion is very rarely correlated directly with the actual financial situation.
Right.
So that's like the first thing is to get that financial house in order and figure out like, do I have a plan? How do I reframe this as this thing that's going to prevent me from living the life that I want? And frankly, I mean, we've heard a lot, and I even just in this conversation with you reframing as a tax, I think it's going to be so powerful for people. Because we've heard a lot of people who feel regret about going into the profession, regret that they didn't know what they were doing when it came to accepting taxes, regret about where they went to school, regret, you know, in Nicole's case that she was like cashing that check that they were given and going to Nordstrom's with it. Like,
yeah,
they didn't, you don't know.
I was seriously like thinking I was like living high on the hog. I was like, this is awesome. I lived by myself and I didn't have roommates. I was like literally going to Nordstrom all the time. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, I have to pay this back.
Yeah, I know. But you know what the funny thing is that's literally encouraged. I mean, that's literally what the loan rules encourage. Because if you have a lot of debt and you're going for forgiveness, like in fact, you should have gone to Nordstrom some more.
Right.
Because it's going to be forgiven anyway. And you know, and that's why I say like, don't kind of blame yourself for like all the world's problems. Like, what can you control? What can you fix? Like, you cannot fix PT school costs. You know, you can't fix the debt that you borrowed for it. You know, if you default on it, they'll actually garnish your wages and they'll take 15% and they'll even take your Social Security. And you might say, oh my gosh, that's terrifying. Well, guess what? They do the same thing for income taxes. If I don't pay my income taxes, they're going to come after me and try to seize it or put me on a payment plan. And yet, why do people not get scared of income taxes? It's because if you get the income, then by definition, you can theoretically afford it as long as you've kind of budgeted and you're aware of it, right? You're aware of the issue. You're aware how to fix it.
Cool. Travis, can I dive into a little bit of detail with you? And I want to just go a little bit more high level just to keep it. But basically, it sounds like if you've got, and correct me if this is my very basic understanding, but if you've got federal loans, you basically have two major options. You can go work for the government or a nonprofit and have those hopefully paid back or hopefully forgiven after 10 years of working, or you can do some form of income-based repayment. And I think there's four different types and you guys have an amazing calculator that shows you like what is best for you there, or you can go the income-based payment plan option where you are paying some sort of percentage of what you're paying this tax. And then it's forgiven after 20 or 25 years. Is that kind of the landscape or am I missing something?
Well, you're missing a third one, which is refinancing and paying it off, right? So that's the third big one. It's one of those three passes, generally always the way to do it. I will say this. So one thing, this is just maybe a little technical, but it's something that I need to bring up. So if you graduated PT school like in like 2012 or before, you really need to pay attention to what I'm going to say if you're at a nonprofit or government employer. So this PSLF waiver is currently in effect. This is due to the pandemic, and they are waiving all the normal rules for the PSLF program. So what that effectively means is if you have loans that didn't qualify, or you were on the wrong repayment plan, or you have loans that have different numbers of payment histories, like different numbers of credit, you can consolidate all that debt together. And then you can go apply at studentaid.gov/PSLF to have all of your payment with the max loan with the most credit applied to the whole thing. In a lot of cases, if you've made payments for 10 years or more, you can turn a non-eligible loan into something that's fully forgivable immediately. So this is like the biggest opportunity I've ever seen in 6 years of doing this, because it's the first time there's ever been, you know, a program that can just wipe away the whole thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So basically, if I hope anybody who graduated, so graduating prior to 2012, and do they have had the to work at a nonprofit or for the government?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, this applies to everyone. The people, I said 2012 because I wanted to get their attention the most, because you talk about like the impact that it could have to have something that could not be forgiven previously that is forgivable, but only until October. I really wanted to slap them across the face and get their earbuds woken up and help them realize they need to pay attention. Because what's going to happen is a lot of people that are financially literate are finding out about this and finding out that they need to talk to us and, you know, or research this for themselves. And the less financially literate people are less likely to do this, right? So they're less likely to contact and ask for help. So here's what I would tell physical therapists right now. If you're in the public sector as a physical therapist, you need to either research your own options or book a plan with us. Because the PSLF waiver is complicated. There's all this extra credit you can get towards the 10 years. In some cases, you can get it all forgiven immediately. And you have to take action by October 31st, 2022, because that's what the Biden administration said you got to do. And then when that deadline's over, all these flexibilities that we've got to get people closer to that 10 years, they're all gone.
Well, and I think this is something I've heard horror stories about. And I'm really glad we're bringing this up, because I've heard that a lot of people who actually qualify for many of these programs don't actually get the forgiveness that they think they're working toward, because they didn't dot all their I's and cross all their T's on all of their paperwork and do everything correctly. Is that something people really should be afraid of?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a good analogy in the PT space, and I can't really think of one. but it's kind of like all these programs, like back in the day, were not promised to people. Like the media tends to like present a look, all the loan programs are broken narrative. And while that's kind of true, the problem is not because the loan programs were broken, it's because Congress and the White House of prior years like made a flawed program with flawed rules and said like you have to do all these very narrow things to qualify. And then they made the rules a lot broader, but only in 2010, for example. And so if you've got to be in doing something 10 years, then the first people that are going to not have a lot of trouble are going to be the people that are, you know, that graduated in 2010 and after. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like, you know, there's all these articles that always say this, oh, only 30 people have gotten forgiveness. Well, the reason for that is because the only people that could get forgiveness in the past had to figure out a way to pay 20% of their income on 20,000 of student loans and somehow have a forgivable balance. Well, that's mathematically impossible. So that's the reason. Or, you know, with the PSLF program, they just had the wrong kind of loans because the loan program didn't offer forgiveness to people that were in the larger loan program at the time, because the banks lobbied, I guess, against it to not include that. So what I'm saying is those horror stories, it'd be like, I don't know, it would be like you watch the horror movie and everybody's dead, but you can literally fix all of it, you know, and you've got to fix it before the end of the, this is like creepy, I'm sorry, but like, you got to fix it. You got to fix it before the end of the movie or else it's permanent. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
And actually, it, yeah. You know,
and so there's like this temporary window where like all of the rules of the plot are like player option, where you can just like swap them all out and like do anything you want. And if you know the rules, you can kind of like save everybody. I don't know. That's a terrible analogy. But I mean, we're doing a lot of plans like for all kinds of people right now. We're doing PSLF. We're doing 20, 25 year forgiveness. We're doing refinancing options like for people to help them navigate that. I just wanted to bring the PSLF thing up because we're kind of asking people like, if your plan's not urgent, please book it like after October, because we're really getting inundated with people that realize they need to talk to us about the nonprofit government PSLF options.
Awesome. Well, and talk to me a little bit more about how people work with you and exactly what it looks like. But my first question, so people on average are saving about $53,000 over the life of what they're doing by working with you guys. Are there people who wouldn't benefit?
Yes,
somebody
absolutely.
Somebody just be like, you know what, this is not a good fit.
I mean, like, so the way we kind of look at that is, you show up to the first PT appointment and everything's great, that your knee's really healthy, and you're just like, we don't need to meet again. Do you get billed for that appointment? You do, right? Because it's just, I mean, it's a couple hundred bucks. It's like not super, super duper expensive. And some people are going to benefit enormously. And most of them are going to benefit enormously. That's the way we do things. Instead of the ortho model of everybody needs a knee replacement. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Seriously. You know,
but that's the way we do things. So it's like, I would say maybe 10, 15% of the people are already doing everything really well, and they don't really need any, like, you know, anything better. But like everybody on our team is really experienced financial planners and can add value besides just the loans. Like, so what we generally do is in the hour, we usually get through the student loan part of things in about 45 minutes. And then we have 15 minutes at the end of the call where we can just talk about everything. So like homeownership, term life, if you have kids, like is disability insurance a waste of money or not? Emergency funds, investing, like we'll sort of give people some resources to start. And our goal is to help student loan borrowers become wealthy one day by putting them on that trajectory they need to be on. So in terms of how it works with us, studentloanplanner.com, you'll see our hire button basically on the very front page, but studentloanplanner.com/book. is the link people can go to schedule a plan. And it's, you know, it's $395 to $595. So $400 to $600. So, and that's dependent upon, you know, how much you have. So for most physical therapists, it would be on the low end of that. It'd probably be $395 for most physical therapists.
Yeah. And that, I mean, to me, that just seems like such a no-brainer. If you are struggling with student loans, if you are feeling any kind of way about that, I mean, you're basically, you guys, you get on a call with you guys and there's two options. One is that you get options and ideas that are going to save you on average $53,000 for a $400 phone call. That's a pretty good option. I think that's good. Number two is you get the confidence that you're doing everything right. You don't have to worry about this. You're not worried that there's like some plan out there that you're not taking advantage of. That anxiety can start to go away. And you're getting financial planning from somebody who has no vested interest in selling you something, which is almost impossible to find, at least in today's day and age. Like, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
I mean, it would kind of be like if you had a super expensive roof that you were worried was just going to collapse and just flood your house, and the roof person comes out there and there's like a low chance, but like that everything's fine, but they can tell you that for a couple hundred dollars, a few hundred dollars, and that you're good. Or for the same price, you know, they can tell you how to fix the roof and avoid the $50,000 flood. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could kind of make an analogy to it, right? I mean, it's just, we always wanted it to be kind of, I mean, like, you know, the thing about financial advice is it's got to be really well incentivized, and the incentives have to be really carefully constructed to make sure that the outcome is the right thing, you know, for the client, right? So that's why I've designed everything very intentionally. Like, you know, the bonuses for refinancing, like the flat fee that's like paid regardless, like it's all designed to get people the outcome that they need, which is like that transformation that they're looking for of just having their mindset be totally changed so that they can do anything they want to do. So yeah, I mean, I love it. I don't know if you guys can tell. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to love. I guess it's like loving fixing pelvic floors like my wife does, you know. It's like a
right, same thing. I was about to say, do you know we all love weird stuff over here too. So yeah, I think we just love that there's everybody that's passionate about different stuff too. And I think it's really awesome. And it's really cool to see too that, I mean, a lot of times we talk about we do business mentorship and stuff like that. And it's like, this is like a 10-year overnight success. It's like, you've had a lot of experience in the financial industry as well over a long period of time. And then now this program is coming with all of your knowledge and travels and everything else. And I'm sure appreciating other cultures and everything like that, and into this amazing offer basically, which is super cool.
Well, and you can do business stuff. Like, that's what's cool about this, is if you want to go start your own physical therapy business or practice or something, and you want to try to figure out a way to do it fee for service, and you have to have a vision for that. So get up like 12 months worth of expenses and cash savings, put your, you know, recertify your IBR payments like to zero as soon as you quit your job. And that counts towards forgiveness, and then go try to take a risk and do it. I mean, I remember one physical therapist is pretty memorable, I think, because they had like a niche practice to like really wealthy clients that live in the Hamptons or something. Like, they would just like go do house calls, and for a really high non-insurance based fee, I think he was making like 150 or 200,000 a year, maybe like 200,000 a year. It's like, wow, this is like a great idea. Like, you know, really creative way to avoid insurance companies.
Yeah. Well, and we have a ton of cash-based physical therapists that's like our jam. But a lot of people are really scared to, because of their high loan payment, they feel like they're stuck in this job. So they can't go out and start their own business. And like you said, take a risk because, and then that's where this anxiety comes in too. It's like, well, I feel like this one payment of this decision I made when I was 22 years old is now like impacting me 15 years later and I can't do what I want to do.
But well, I want to say my parents burdened with me with the decision to birth me into the world, into the United States, where I have to somehow pay 43% income taxes or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, and dadgummit, I could have been born in a developing country with 5% income taxes and no roads. You know what I mean? Like, right. So it's kind of like, I mean, it really is like you think about perspective. And I think that, you know, a lot of like philosophies and world religions and stuff like warn people about like comparing yourself to your neighbor, right? Thou shalt not covet. Like that was one of the earliest warnings in the Bible. It's like, and there's a reason for that. It's because like, you're always thinking, oh, what if I'd done that? Or what if I had this person's life? Or what if I had that person's loans or lack thereof of their loans, right? That's the thing that's good is, you know, if you have 60,000, there's a set of solutions for that, that, you know, you can handle it. And if you've got 500,000 somehow, I mean, I don't think I've seen a physical therapist with that much, but I've certainly seen ones with like 350 maybe that had undergrad debt piled on top of physical therapy debt. And there's a lot of easy solutions to that too. So I'm grateful for that. I wish it was straightforward and it's not. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, if you have that knowledge, that expert knowledge, then you don't have to have it be straightforward. You can just figure it out what to do.
Exactly.
And I love that you said that business owners can still benefit from this as well. I think that's something that keeps people from jumping out and starting their own thing is what happens to my income-based repayment plan? What happens to all that? It sounds like you have strategies for that person as well.
Obviously. Oh yeah. Well, I'll say this to physical therapists thinking about being a business owner. The biggest risk in your life, if you are interested in business ownership, is not doing it. That's the biggest risk because you have to bet on yourself because are you capable? Are you competent? Are you a people person and a go-getter and somebody who's going to be successful? If you're really into the idea of business ownership, the answer to all those things is an absolute yes. And so you definitely need your spouse's buy-in. You know, you need financial reserves where you can do it responsibly because there will probably be a 2 or 3 year period that it's going to take for it to work. But to the extent that you can have a niche and listen to programs like your guys' mentorship programs that'll help increase their chances of success, I'm all about business ownership because I obviously did that and it's worlds better. If I had stayed at a company, I would still probably be in a, you know, a middle level, you know, employee answering to someone else. And instead, I get to answer to my wife about whether or not, you know, I can go to the business conference I want to go to with our 1-year-old, you know. I'm just kidding.
Awesome.
I hope she doesn't hear this.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Better problems.
Exactly. Awesome. And I can't imagine a better way to end it than that for our listeners here. And we're going to do something special with you guys where it sounds like you are able to offer people who come from us an extra 12 months after the call. They're able to have email support with you guys. Can you just talk a
little bit about that? That's right. Yeah. So you just, to do that, we have a consult form that people will fill out that they'll get right after they book the call. So first step is to schedule. We don't actually require any payment to schedule. So you can go and schedule with just your email address and your name, and then you'll get a consult form. And in that consult form, just make sure that they mention this podcast as the source where they heard about us. And then, you know, that'll be, that it will give people a year of follow-up support via email instead of the 6 months.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that for our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the bio for all of this. You can check out everything that they're doing at studentloanplanner.com. Check out the Student Loan Planner podcast. I'm sure they can find that anywhere podcasts are. Man, I think this is just such a game changer for people, Travis. Honestly, I'm so impressed by what you guys are doing. And for those of you guys listening, if you're on the fence, like this sounds to me like the thing to do. Just get your plan, like make the plan and work the plan. Like that's it. And you guys are the ones. I mean, I had to do like 12 hours of research to even have an intelligent conversation with you on this podcast because it's so complicated. And you guys are going to be able to like disentangle that for people. So I just am so impressed by what you're doing. And I hope everybody is going to be giving you a call and getting their stuff figured out because this is important. And these are the decisions now that are really going to impact people's financial futures going forward. And I love that you said, I don't just want to get you out of debt or back to level ground. Like I want people to be wealthy and feeling financially secure and free and not having anxiety around this stuff. And this is the first step and it's going to bear fruit for you guys for a long time going forward. So I'm just really excited about this whole program.
Thank you guys. I can't wait to save some people some money. Hit us up.
Woohoo!
All right. Thanks, Travis.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
so
guys.
Much.
We will have a great rest of the week, and we will be talking to you guys on the podcast soon. Guys, so much to take away from that interview with Travis. We're so grateful that he joined us here on the Pelvic PT Rising podcast. I hope that was helpful. I learned a ton, and I thought I knew a lot about this.
Yeah, man. And again, I said it at the beginning, and we said it in the middle of the podcast. I'm going to say it again. That mindset shift of how we can be thinking about our loans and then taking the next step into getting expert help in this area is really, really important for us all. And it's going to make us better physical therapists if we can be more settled with our own stuff in our own sandbox.
Yes. So if you guys do want, they've set up a special page for you guys coming from here from the Pelvic PT Rising podcast. It is studentloanplanner.com/rising. Again, that's studentloanplanner.com/rising. They've agreed to add an extra 6 months of email support for those of you guys who come from the podcast. So that'll be 12 months after you do your consult with them. If that's something that you want to do, you'll be able to get email support after that. Man, I mean, some of his things about saving people $50,000 on average, like this can be a game changer for a lot of folks. So if you guys are on the fence with that, make sure to check them out. We vetted a lot of different people, and Travis and his people are completely legit and really just excited that he was on and excited for you guys. If you're struggling with this, if this is an area where you have issues, make sure to get some help. Just like we would consult a patient to get help from an actual human being who knows what the hell's going on. Same thing here. So again, that was studentloanplanner.com/rising. I'm going to put that in the show notes. If you have questions, if you have any comments on this episode, as always, we want to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.